Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back. Nearly up to midnight. And it's time to go to an interesting guest, because that's what we do late at night, isn't it? We go to an interesting guest. My guest tonight is an alcohol-free performance coach. I said alcohol, but like I said, like I slurred myself there, like almost like I'm drinking. An alcohol-free performance coach with 3 years, or with years, to say, of experience as a journalist and broadcaster, and I know her well. Siobhan O'Connor is helping middle-lane drinkers to change their relationship with alcohol. Siobhan is also a features writer, of course, with the Irish Mirror, senior feature writer. And also with the Irish Sunday Mirror and columnist as well. She joins me on the line. Siobhan, hi, how are you?
Niall, I'm great. And I'm dying to know. I'd love to know which radio station you were talking about earlier.
Oh, I think you know well which radio station it was, Siobhan, because you might have been working there at the same time.
Well, listen, I mean, the thing with these WhatsApps is you just have to be so careful, don't you? Then nowadays, you're contactable everywhere.
I hate them, Siobhan. I hate them. I despise them with every fibre of my being. Listen, myself and AJ were talking about alcohol earlier on. And people, the Irish people and our relationship with alcohol. We have a really bad relationship with alcohol. Do you have a good relationship with it?
Oh, my drinking career was phenomenal. I mean, I really gave it such a good lash that, you know, I was even more than a middle lane drinker, like to the point where, you know, I had to give it up at the end. But, you know, we don't even think about how much we're drinking in this country. It's, you know, and I don't, it's Christmas time and I'm not anti-drink, but my now new thing is try and help people who maybe want to change, as you say, your relationship with it.
Mm.
No, and like, if you have to think, right, are you getting the best out of yourself? Are you kind of a little bit tired? Are you sort of dying for Thursday so you can lash into the wine? my wife for giving it up was, I got to the point where I was away on a lovely weekend on a beautiful beach with the kids, and the kids were running around, and I was with my neighbour. You know, she wasn't really thinking about a glass of white vino.
Yeah.
And I was looking at my kids, and I thought, geez, I'm thinking, it's about, you know, the afternoon time, and I'm thinking, oh, I can't wait for 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock when we're having the, you know, the apero,
yeah,
we call it.
Yeah.
We're on a little trip away, but I just...
So your goal, your target every day was the alcohol?
Not every day, but this was it on the holiday.
Right,
and
okay.
It doesn't have to be every day. This is the thing. This will keep people trapped in it. It's like every social occasion, every holiday, every celebration, alcohol was always there. And I just, when I saw the girls on the beach, I just thought, okay, do you know what? There must be another way. I don't want to be, I want to enjoy the now with them and not be thinking vino at five.
But isn't it, you know, but Siobhan, isn't there something to do with the language we use in this country when it comes to alcohol, right? Because obviously people have serious problems with alcohol in this country as well. Alcoholism is a serious problem. But what we do is we lighten it by saying, I should look at John. Ah, yeah, he likes a drink. He's fond of a drink. We never say John's an alco or John has a problem. We say John is fond of drink, or he likes a drink. Siobhan likes, she likes a drink, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I was the crack, you know. I was always the one that people said brought the party and all that. But then the crack went wrong for me. And, you know, I think finding the why you want to maybe change the... And people think it's a bit, oh, my God, people... Now, when you say, one of my older people in my life said to me, what do you mean an alcohol-free performance coach? What do you mean change your relationship with alcohol? And it simply is this. We're drinking off the wrong kind of feelings. So we, as alcohol-free performance coaches, I trained with this guy called Andy Ramage. He's unreal on if you want to look at all his Instagram. I should get better at that now. He's great at the Instagram, you know. So I'm going to start doing videos and all that. But, like, he is brilliant on, like, trying to explain why people, they're drinking off something. Like, I was saying to my partner earlier, John, right? I was saying, oh, my God, you know the way, like, years ago, if I was stressed or something happened, I'd be back home. Oh, I'll have to have a glass of wine, right?
Yeah.
That's not really good. Let's face it. Like, that's, I was drinking off a feeling. And a lot of us do that, right?
Yeah, I do the same, but with cigarettes. I do it with cigarettes. Yeah, I don't drink. I smoke instead.
Yeah. Oh, do you not?
No.
You don't drink at all?
No.
Why
does that sound so, why is that so shocking? You don't drink. Irish people do that as well. What, you don't drink at all?
No. I'm hearing it now, right? Because people love saying to me, do you have a little bit of a problem? Like, so I'm not like you. You have, probably have a bit of a problem, did you? You know, you're a bit problematic there. And I admit it, right? But people don't like to hold, you to hold the mirror up to them because it frightens people. But unless you're willing to just relinquish control and realise, I was a bad drinker in the end. So, like, and it's probably just thing as a good drinker or a bad drinker. But, like, for you, Niall, that's pretty phenomenal. Like, that you escaped the jar, shall we say.
Oh, yeah. Because, and I worked in nightclubs all my life. You know, as a DJ, Club M and all the big clubs all my life, Club 6-7 nights a week. And everybody was pissed around me, but I was completely sober. Always.
Right. So you were turned off it.
Yeah, I think. Well, not only that, see, my father was a heavy drinker and a problem drinker. So, you know, that kind of put me off it as well. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I remember my first drink, by the way. I was 17 years of age. I was at the Saturday's nightclub.
17?
Yeah, 17. I was.
Oh, you see, you got away lightly.
And somebody said to me, would you like a drink? I was in. I managed to get myself into Saturday's nightclub, which was one of the first nightclubs. This was back in 1979, 80.
Yeah.
And I managed to get myself in and somebody said, would you like a drink? And I said, oh yeah, real men drink pints of beer, don't they? So I said, give us a pint of Smittix. I'll have a pint of Smittix. I drank the pint of Smittix and I vomited it up again about 10 minutes later, right? Because I just couldn't handle it. And I never drank again.
Wow. I mean, what we did, we were kind of like, oh, I wouldn't say coerced or forced, but like, you know, you were frigid if you didn't drink or there's something wrong with you. I remember being at the Faith No More concert. Red Hot Chili Peppers were supposed to play. It was Daily Mount. I was 15, you know, the crowds were going, I was having a ball, I wasn't drinking. And I remember one of my best friend's bigger, older sisters turned around to me and said, you're so square. Why aren't you?
You're such a bore.
Yeah. And I remember going, oh my God, like, oh, feeling so less than, you know?
Yeah.
And then over the years, your listeners probably won't know this, but I was working in showbiz for a long, long time, like 20 years, 10 years on radio. You know, it was synonymous with the party. It was almost like drink was coming out on tap on all these free nights.
Yeah, because see, when I was working with you, I don't know whether we crossed paths in the same radio station at the same time. I think you came in just as I finished in that radio station, right? And you were the kind of entertainment correspondent. You had this fancy job where you were standing on red carpets all the time, interviewing people and going around and doing all that kind of snazzy stuff. So you had numerous reasons to get drunk.
Yeah, like I was on the breakfast show with Dermot and Dave and I was invited to every single soiree going. And they used to be the laugh like, oh, Siobhan, you're on the soirees again. And like they were giving you free, what one of my former editors called, Lady Petrol, you know, the free Prosecco.
Lady Petrol.
You have to do those things, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I never met you, though. This is the early days, you see. So I didn't realise I was masking sort of this imposter syndrome with the first glass, which a lot of women and men, I shouldn't just say women, for God's sake, I'll be accused of not being, you know, what's the word, diverse of. Or inclusive, but you know, but sometimes what we do is we go to one of these events and we're a bit nervous and a bit of imposter syndrome. We shouldn't be here, so of course we go for the glass of Prosecco. But that builds then, and the subconscious mind starts believing, okay, so what do you need in a social situation to make you relax? Okay, you need a glass of that drink. So there's an amazing book I'll share with your listeners and yourself, Niall, if anyone is feeling this and they're kind of listening to me now and going, I could be like what Siobhan is explaining. There's a brilliant book by William Porter called Drink Explained. Oh, sorry, Alcohol Explained.
It's ironic alcohol his name is Porter, by the way, isn't it? But yeah, sorry, go on.
Porter, Alcohol Explained. Yeah, it is Porter. And it's based on that book. I'll tell you why. It explains to you why we always go for the same cure, for want of a better word, which is the jar, because we're pre-programmed. We've pre-programmed ourselves since we were like in the ditch drinking.
Yeah,
I mean, who hasn't in Ireland done that synonymous drinking in the field with your mates before?
Yeah.
The Grove was my.
Oh, the Grove! I went to the Grove too. Yeah, I didn't think I did.
The crack in the Grove.
I didn't think you were old enough for the Grove, Siobhan.
I am, and I was in the cricket. The Grove, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, no, I was in the Grove now back in the 1970s. You know what I mean? It's a bit of a difference now. You weren't there in the 1970s,
No. No, I was there in like the late 90s. But, like, do you know what I mean? If the environment is always that way for us, right? And we're programming ourselves to think it's normal. Like, that's why I am so excited about coaching. Because
so how does the coaching work? So I come to you and I go, oh, I think I have a bit of a problem. Well, you know, I'm not an alco or anything like that, but I just think I have my relationship with alcohol is not good. You know, I kind of spend my whole week looking forward to Thursday, you know, for wine o'clock.
Yeah.
So how, and I'm thinking I'd love to go through Christmas without alcohol.
Yeah. Well, that might be really tough for most people, right? Because Christmas drink is everywhere. And like, for anyone who's trying to, you know, maybe stop or cut back, the thing about Christmas is, you know, maybe find your time. If you're thinking about it, you're already in the contemplation state. So you've moved from pre-contemplation. You're already halfway there. If you're thinking about it, that is amazing. Because a lot of people could stay in the pre-contemplation state all their lives and think it's grand to be just half pissed going around the place, for want of a better word. But if you're in the contemplation state, that means you have, you're sure this is for you. You want to do this. You're ready to rock, right? But limiting beliefs will keep people trapped. So the way coaching works, which is synonymous with life coaching as well, we work on the belief system. We work, Andy's come up with this amazing thing, which is kind of based on motivational coaching, which is the ambivalent seesaw, which basically I get people to work on, okay, let's put your, what's great about drinking on one side. Let's put on the other side the consequences. Let's put down what you think you'll miss. Let's put down, and we work and we talk through the topics and we work through them. But the person is doing all the talking, ironically enough, because I love to talk. So I have to sort of sum up and like...
And what are the things they tell you? Like, you know, when people say things that they miss from alcohol, what is it they miss? What is the thing? Is what? It relaxes them? I don't know. It makes them feel less stressed. What do they miss?
The common ones are, it makes me, I like to drive. The worry is, I love having fun, right, with alcohol. And then...
And what, do they believe they can't have fun without it?
Yes. And then you put a line across and you say, okay, consequences. Next day, oh my God, I drank to reduce anxiety. The next day I'm getting anxiety from drink, right? So you generally find that there's a correlation between why they think they want to drink in the first place and then the next day what happens to them when they wake up is the opposite. So, like, you know, it's really intriguing to sort of work with people. Like, I wish that when I gave up alcohol, like, there was somewhere to even... Like, now I would advise people, if they are thinking about it, Christmas is hard, but if you're thinking about it, you could get yourself ready and join some groups and check out Sober Curious on movements on Instagram, on Facebook. You can check out Andy's. There's an amazing app that's free that I hope to be on soon. You know me, I love the talking. It's called the Dry App, DRYY, right?
Okay.
And that's free. And you can go on that and, you know, join like-minded people who are sick of the jar. You know, they're sick. There's a group on there called Off the Sesh. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's cool. Like, it's, look, I think our vintage, Niall, you know, we were unlucky. You escaped it, right?
Yeah.
But, like, for me, it was just, drink was synonymous with the crack everywhere you went.
I know. I know. Sure. Look, when we look at the nightclub industry, per se, for example, going back 20 years ago compared to now, you know, the nighttime industry was huge. It's not anymore. But it was huge at the time. There was, I don't know, 50 nightclubs in Dublin. There was more nightclubs in Dublin per head of population than any other city in Europe. And now there's only about 5. So, you know.
Oh my God. Yes. Do you think it's changing?
I think the whole drink culture is changing. I think young people are not drinking as much. Sadly, I think some of them are snorting cocaine and taking other sides of drugs as well. But I do believe there's a shift away from alcohol to some degree. And I think a lot of that's to do with when I was younger, when I was DJing, you know, back in the 1980s, for example, or the 1990s in Club M, a lot of people didn't go to college. They went straight from, you know, school to work. So they had more money, more disposable income, and they went out every night. And then we noticed the change in and around the late 90s into the 2000s, where more kids were going to college, because I didn't, you know, we didn't go to college in the 1970s because we couldn't afford it. There's only 2 kids in the class went to college because they were rich, because we didn't get free education in those days. And as you came into the 2000s then, you've seen the drop. So all the nightclubs had to start reverting to student nights just to get people in the door. You know what I mean? So you've seen that change in the culture, and I think there is a change.
Yeah. And like, I hope it changes for my daughters. I wanted to break the cycle, you know, of anyone seeing. I just didn't want, you know, for my daughters to think that drinking is normal, like to the extent that I've seen over my life. Like, I've seen like so many people going out, just getting, and I was one of them, like drunk. Like, it was so normal to just get drunk. Like, do you know what I mean? And actually, it's not really. You know, I think since the advent of smartphones, that's the worry with people, you know, that they're not doing it, they're not drinking as much. What else are they doing, as you said, Niall? But like, the thing about it is, right, you can't change the trigger, but you can change the reward. So my top tip for anyone sitting at home tonight, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, call me on or get me on it. By the way, do you ever notice as well, Instagram, everyone can get you on that. You don't even need to phone anyone anymore.
Yeah.
Get me on Instagram if you want me to do a one-on-one with you or what you call it, a kind of a...
Yeah, she's the real mammy, but she is a real mammy, by the way. But the real mammy, and it's spelled R-E-E-L. The real mammy. Real mammy.
Yeah. If you want to get me. But my top tip tonight, right, is, and look, Christmas, lads, let's face it, just reduce down. If you're thinking about this and you're really kind of contemplating and you're in the contemplation mode, you're probably not ready to do a deep dive into giving up completely for Christmas. I'm not giving people the caveat to go get sloshed over Christmas. I'm just saying, look, it's probably a hard time. Christmas is the hardest time. It's everywhere, you know, but just maybe do. I love my friend as a thing and I do it now. I used to do it years ago before I quit completely. But it's the fake drinking. You know, she puts like a glass of like fabulous looking glass with a nice sparkling water and like a slice of lime. And you don't even notice the difference. You're just having the crack. You're soaking up the buzz.
Yeah.
But anyway, my top tip is...
Or a mocktail. Could you make a mocktail? You could make mocktails, couldn't you?
Mocktails are fab as well. Yeah, but full of sugar, like. So.
That's okay.
If you're watching your weight. But yeah. My top tip is, if you are making yourself, say, so what I mean by you can't change the trigger, you change the reward. So, for instance, at 5 o'clock, wine o'clock, change that time. Don't cook then, cook earlier. And at 5 o'clock, go have a fab walk with a cool podcast on like something you really want to get meaty into. Have your own time.
Yeah, like the Niall Boylan podcast. There's what's out there.
You hate podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. They can
love
listen.
Love radio.
Yeah, they can listen to my podcast.
Exactly. Or else, you know, do something nice for yourself to change the reward. But be conscious of the fact that if on a Thursday at 5 o'clock you always have a glass of wine, you're always going to want a glass of wine at that time. So you need to be conscious of that, cognizant of the fact that that trigger will not change. You have to move. You got to get out of Dodge at that time. Do something different.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting, Siobhan, and I know you're a real mammy, by the way. If you want some advice off Siobhan, or you're looking for advice, go to her Instagram. It's Real Mammy. Now, that's R-E-E-L, Real Mammy on Instagram. By the way, social media is where it's at now, isn't it? I think I'm missing out somewhere. Instagram, I don't do too well. I'm kind of mad on Twitter. Well, they all think I'm mad. Everybody else thinks I'm mad. I'm not really.
Do you love Twitter? I mean, since your man took it over, Jesus.
But it's either that or Blue Sky, and I'm certainly not going to go on to Blue Sky. They'd hate me. They'd hate me over there.
Like, I can't keep up with all this stuff. Like, it's just too much.
No, Blue Sky is just another. Blue Sky is just like, well, the founder of Twitter actually brought out Blue Sky, the original founder of Twitter. So he's brought out his own one now called Blue Sky. And all it is a bunch of lefties all telling each other they're great.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God. Like, does everyone else find social media exhausting? But like, you know, you can get addicted to that as well. You can get addicted to anything.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the coaching is all about. So like, I love...
Does your coaching work for cigarettes and for other things as well, like social media?
So I've been trained in the positive psychology as the basis. So it works for all behavior change.
Right, okay.
Oh, and then I was like, hell yeah, I've gone back to do a degree in psychology at night. Oh my God.
I think psychology is really interesting. I'm a people watcher. I'm a real people watcher.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, I love, you know what I do? We stand outside. Remember years ago, one of my other producers, Helena, we used to stand outside having a smoke outside the radio station, and somebody would walk by and we'd have to guess, right? And I go, he's an accountant. His name is George. He's divorced 3 years. He has two kids, but one of them hates him. So and we just by looking at people, we used to try and tell what they were all about. People watchers.
God. Well, come here. I could come into your show and coach a few people on various things one of the nights if you want.
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Here I am getting myself a job now on your show.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want, like, and I can try and coach you live on air to get off smoke.
Ah, yeah, that won't work. People have tried. People have tried and they failed.
Have you been to Keith Barry yet? Has he hypnotized you?
No, I've spoken to Keith. He was on with us there going back a few weeks ago. I spoke to him. I also spoke to the Alan Carr people as well. And I didn't have the time for that, to be honest with you. I couldn't be. Now, in fairness, I believe they're very successful. And we did send a couple of people to Alan Carr and they did quite well.
Oh my God. So you'd be a real hard challenge for me.
I'd be the impossible challenge for you, Siobhan. So you may forget about it. Anyway, yes, but we will. We definitely will sort something out. We get you in and get people to call in with their problems, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. I'm like the new age agony aunt.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Siobhan, it's been a pleasure talking to you. If you want to go to Siobhan's Instagram page, by the way, it's Real Mammy. That's Real Mammy. Where else can they get you, Siobhan? Are you on Twitter? Are you on TikTok? Are you on anything else?
I'm on Twitter. I'm called on at Real Mammy on Twitter. Come here. I'm not on the TikTok. Oh, God.
Why not?
Are you on
TikTok? TikTok, I believe, is where it's at.
Oh, God. I even have a bag that says TikTok on it, right? Because my neighbours gave it to me. And everyone I meet in the college, and I go, oh, do you work for TikTok? I'm like, no, sorry.
I believe I'm led to believe you're a nobody now if you're not on TikTok. So I'm led to believe.
Oh, God, I really better get with the program. Yeah.
By the way, don't forget as well, you can pick up Siobhan's pieces are in the newspapers on a regular basis. The Irish Mirror, she's senior features editor. Also, the Irish Sunday Mirror, she's a columnist and writes mad stuff. So you can read all of that at the weekend as well. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Siobhan.
Thanks, Niall. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye. There you go, Siobhan O'Connor. Go to her Instagram. It's at Real Mammy. Now, it's not R-E-A-L. It's R-E-E-L. Real Mammy.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.